Hi everyone, welcome to the House of God at 3 p.m. And before we look at the parable of the sower, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, Lord in heaven, we thank and praise Thee for being in Thy house. And Lord, you just pray that Thou'd open our hearts to receive Thy word this day, and that Lord, Thou'd change us and make us more like You. And we pray, Lord, that for all these things in Jesus' name, Amen. Okay, hi and welcome to everyone. And today, I just want to share with you on a very simple story. And this story is called The Parable of the Sower. And I just want to show of hands, any one of you here has heard this story before? The Parable of the Sower. Okay, I see like one and two, a few hands. Like, okay, many hands. Okay, okay. So I think that there is some things which I can share from there if you have not heard from it. And it's a very simple story. So if you go to Luke chapter 8, from verse 4 all the way to 15. So in verse 4 here, if you can look at the screen, it says, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable." And this person, he here, is Jesus Christ. So here, Jesus Christ is speaking of a parable. And you might also ask me and ask yourselves, like, what is a parable today? What exactly is a parable, right? And a parable, in short, is a story that is with a heavenly meaning. Yeah, so it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And that is just the meaning of a parable. And you might ask yourself, why stories? And we know that stories are powerful, right? Stories are things that stick with us. And when we tell our children stories of Cinderella, we tell the stories about Snow White, you know, these stories stick to them. They remember what happens at the end of the day. They know that at the end of the day, maybe they live happily ever after. Like, these things are things that we remember. Stories help us remember things. And we see that Jesus likewise uses these stories called parables to teach people. And what he uses these stories for is not just like Cinderella. He doesn't just tell the story because he wants us to feel entertained. He wants us to just feel happy out from it. But what Jesus wants us to realize from this story is, how do I get to heaven? How do I get eternal life? And that's the meaning and the purpose of this parable today. And in this short story that Christ has, he wants to use something that people are very familiar with. And that story is about sowing, farming. And maybe a show of hands of anyone here who grew up on a farm in the Philippines. Wow, that's like everyone. Everyone grew up in a farm in the Philippines. Sadly, I didn't grow up in a farm in Singapore. There are no farms here. Yeah, there are no farms. The only farms, I think, are in Lim Chu Kang. So there's the only farm in Singapore. Yeah, there's no other farms here. So I speak of this in terms of what I watch on YouTube, or you know, what I understand and read from books. I have never really farmed in my life. So pardon me if I don't give as good an analogy as what you'd expect. But I think that you are more experienced farmers than me. You'll probably understand what I'm trying to say. Okay? All right. So in this story of farming, Christ talks about four different types of soil. Okay? And in these four different types of soil, if you read in verse 5 here, it says, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside." So this is the first soil, the wayside. And this wayside here, it can be also considered a dirt path. Yes. Right, a dirt path. And I'm no farmer myself, but I think if you want to farm and you want to grow a seed, you don't farm it on the road. Yeah. Right? Like, you don't put it on the road where it's full of like the graphite and all the things that cover it. Because you know that once you put a seed there, it will never grow fruit because the roots cannot grow on it. No matter how much sunlight, no matter how much water you put on it, it will never actually go down and germinate the roots. And then what happens? The Bible says that, "And it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it." So that's what happens to the first soil. The birds of the air actually devour it. When you're on the road, the cars go by, and then the seed actually is gone. There's the first soil. And then Christ talks about the second soil. So the second soil is in verse 6. "And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture." And of course, you know that if it's a rocky area without much access to soil, because the rocks cover the soil itself, when you put a seed there, the seed might grow for a while on that soil, on that rock itself, because the rock might have some nutrients. But then the root is unable to go all the way down to the soil that's beneath the rock. And because of that, you see that the seed then dies. So what happens? What does the Bible say? It withers away because it lacks the moisture. from the soil itself. And so thus, this is the second soil that Christ talks about. And then we talk about the third soil. And so in the third soil, we find it in verse 7. And in verse 7 it says, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it." And you might ask, what is the thorn here? The thorns here are weeds. And we know that if you want to grow, let's say, corn or maize or banana trees, you want to make sure that the soil around it does not have weeds. We de-weed and unweed the entire garden first before growing it. Because what do these weeds do? These weeds will choke up the plants. And when they choke up the plants, they take up the water, they take up the nutrients in the soil. And then instead of growing that maize, you'll be growing weeds. So that's what happens when in the third soil, when it's a thorny ground. And then the fourth. The fourth is what I would like to focus on today as well, which is in verse 8. "And other fell on good ground and sprang up, and bare fruit, and hundredfold." And so here it says that this is the good ground where we know that we grow our crops in. When we have that seed, we don't want to waste our time growing it in the wayside. We don't want to waste our time growing it in the rocky areas. We don't want to waste our time growing in the thorny areas. We make sure that we grow it in the good soil, because the season only comes, let's say, once or twice a year. And then the rainy season is gone, the monsoon season is gone. And then if we do not have the harvest, what happens? The farmers themselves do not have the money that they can have to actually support their families. And that's why they know from this story that Christ is talking about that they need the good soil. And so thus, what are some lessons that Christ wants us to learn from it? And here it says in the Bible, "And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He that have ears to hear, let him hear.'" And in verse 9 it says, "And his disciples asked him, saying, 'What might this parable be?'" And you might ask yourselves today, what is Christ trying to say about these four different types of soil? Why does he tell us something that we already know? Because right now he's teaching to farmers. He's teaching people who stayed in farms, who farm for a living, where their own sustenance, their own money comes from selling the crops. And why is God and why is Christ telling them something they already know? And so, what does God say in verse 10? Verse 10, it says, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." And then God here goes on to talk about why he actually speaks about this four different types of soil. In verse 11, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God." So we start from here. God is trying to tell us that I talk about the four different types of soil, but before I talk about the soil, I want to talk about the seed. The seed here refers to the word of God. And we know the word of God today is this word right here. And it is also the gospel that he has given to us. And what is this gospel? This gospel is a very simple thing. That today, Jesus Christ died for you. And because he died for you, you can have eternal life in him. All you need to do is acknowledge you're a sinner, believe in him, and confess with your heart and with your mouth that he is your Lord. And that is the word of God. This is the seed that he has given to you. And then in verse 12, Christ here talks about the first soil again. "Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." And so Christ explains what happens when you actually try to plant the seed on the wayside. As farmers, you know that it will definitely not grow. Yeah, but what is the implication on our spiritual lives today? If we know the word of God, we have that seed from the word of God today. We have the gospel in our lives, and we take it. But if our hearts today are like this soil, if our hearts today are like the wayside, the dirt road, we know that this seed is just going to lay on top of it. It will never ever go below it. It will never grow root. And what happens? What happens is that, like the bird, the devil actually comes by and then he takes away that seed from you. And then he takes away the word of God in your hearts. And here it's a very sad way that the Bible describes it in verse 12, "lest they should believe and be saved." It's very sad because the devil knows that if that seed actually grows in you, you will believe, you'll be saved, and he doesn't want it to happen. And so that's the first heart soil, the soil of the heart that I want to talk about. And then the second one, what is the meaning of this, the seed actually growing in rocky areas? So in verse 13, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word of joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And just like the seed that is on a rock itself, we know that the rock covers the soil. It is just so near, but yet so far, right? When you put a seed there, you know that if maybe the rock is just maybe just a little bit lesser, the rock, the root can actually grow into the soil. But this rock is a hindrance. This rock is where, when the person actually receives the seed in his heart. But what is this rock? This rock is the cares of life, the temptations. So when a person thinks that, oh, you know, believing in God is all happiness, all joy. And we have a lot of churches out there that actually preach this. They say that you come to Jesus Christ, He'll give you health, He'll give you wealth. He'll make sure that everything in your life is good. And that's what a lot of churches preach today. But we know that this is wrong, because the reason is because of this, is that you have Christians who just think that I don't need the word of God to indwell in my heart. That whenever things go and do not come my way, that means that God is not with me. But that's not true. Because for these people whose heart is like the rock, when the persecutions of life come, when people actually persecute them and say that, why are you a Christian today? Why do you spend your Sunday in church? Why do you come at 3 p.m. service? I can be on the beach. I can be doing something else. I could be spending time with my friends. And especially for many of you here, it's also that the fact that right now you don't have much time to yourself. And you are spending this time here. And when your friends ask you, why do you do this? Can you answer with confidence? Can you say that I am here because I'm a Christian? And when the persecutions of life come at you, will you be like this rock? Will you be like this soil with the rock on it? That eventually you do not want to come to a 3 p.m. service. You don't want to come to church because people persecute you. Do not be like this rock, where the rock actually does not allow that seed of the word of God to take root. And when temptation comes, it falls away. And then we go on to the third soil that God speaks about in verse 14. And it says, and that which fell among thorns are they, which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. And this soil here, this hard soil here, is talking about a soil with weeds on it. And what is the implication for us spiritually? When you receive the word of God in your heart, when you actually receive the gospel, and it is there, it grows seed, it grows root into the heart of into your heart. But what happens when you have all the cares of life, just like the weeds? They take away the same nutrients, they take away the same water, and they rob you of the time, the energy that you spend together for God. And we know that every one of us here has 24 hours to a day. We don't have more than that. We don't have 23 hours, we don't have 25 hours. Right. Sometimes I wish I have 25 hours in a day. All right. So, but we only have 24 hours. But within this 24 hours, there are some weeds in our lives. The cares of this world, the riches, things that we really want. And we actually see that there's another parallel part of scripture here, which is in Matthew chapter 13. And I want to go there because it describes it in more vivid detail. It describes it in a better way. What are these thorns in our lives? And if you go to Matthew chapter 13, and if you go to verse 22, Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, and it reads here, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. And so here he adds on that the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. And it is true that these things sometimes do rob us of the time that we have with God. It does take away our time, take away our energy. And it's like the weed that is in the soil itself, taking away the needed nutrients for the seed of the word of God to actually grow. And so, if we are concerned with improving our position in life, improving our riches, if we're concerned with our power, with our reputation, We have a concern even with things that are actually allowed, things which the Bible doesn't say is wrong, relationships, our friends. These things can be like the weeds that actually take away our time from God. They take away the nutrients that allow us to grow in the Word of God. And Pastor Paul actually talks about this before. He said that sometimes you spend times on the good things, but then because of that, we leave out the best things. And these good things can actually be extremely good things in our lives, because sometimes we could actually put a lot of effort in helping others. We could put a lot of effort in saving the environment, in doing things which are good for society. But as long as any of these things takes priority above God, as long as any of these things is put above God itself, these can be weeds in our lives that actually threaten to actually take away our time, that doesn't allow us to grow fully in God. And right now, I just want to talk about the last soil in our hearts, which is the good soil. And here in verse 15, it says, "But that on the good ground are they, which an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience." And so, I want to focus on this fruit, on this fruit here that is grown on the good ground. Because this good ground here is where our hearts should actually be. Our hearts today should not be hearts that are like the wayside. It should not be hearts like the rock. It should not be hearts like the thorny ground. It should be hearts that are soft, like the good ground. And if you see how farmers actually till the ground, they make sure that the soil is soft enough such that the seeds can actually fall into it. And then it is malleable, it's pliable, and it's like our hearts. We are like the clay in the potter's hand. If your heart is hard today, the seed cannot grow. You cannot be shaped. You cannot be fashioned. But if your heart is soft, the seed can grow inside, and God can actually change your heart, and God can actually make it more like Him. And I want you to see here that this soil here and the fruits that it produces is that different people produce different fruits. Some might produce 34 fruits, some might produce 60-fold, and some might produce 100-fold. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says that all these are good fruits, right? He doesn't say that the person with 100 fruits is better than a person with 30 fruits. We don't read that in the Bible. The Bible just says that all these are good fruits. And we actually see that the different fruits that we grow, like the maize, the corn, the banana trees, all these produce different types. A banana might have many like stalks of bananas on the tree itself. A maize might only have just one corn on its stalk. But is the corn and the maize lesser than a banana? It is not. We all know that it is not, right? So similarly, in our Christian lives, a person with just 30 fruits versus a person with 100 fruits, it's no different. And then another thing that I want to talk about is that similarly, likewise, some might become pastors, some might become just a doorkeeper in church. But are these the same in God's eyes? They are. They are the same. They are still good fruits. Some, we are just called to different purposes in our lives. And if you are here and if you have not heard the word of God, and this is the first time, or if you have heard the word of God many times in your lives, I urge you not to be like the three other soil that we talked about. Instead, I urge you to be like the fourth soil, the good soil, the soil which is soft, that our heart is soft for God to use. Because if today you are like the first soil, the soil that is just by the wayside, by the dirt road, if your heart is very hard, it cannot be penetrated into. And this is not the first time you've heard the gospel. I urge you to hear it, to soften your heart. Pray that God will soften your heart today. Because if not, it's just going to let the cars run over it again. The seed is going to be gone. And you might not have a chance again. And if today you are just also like the rocky path, and it is just that small centimeters of the rock between the soil and the seed, I urge you to take away the rock as well. And it is the same as well. Our minds and our heart is just a very short distance, similar like the rock. If today we fully understand in our minds that we need God, there is a God out there, but what about hearts? Does our heart confess? Does our heart say that I believe in Jesus Christ? It's the same as a rocky road as well, right? Can we today take away the rock? And even though we believe and understand of our mind, can we believe in our hearts as well? And I urge you today that you would pray that God will take away the rock away in our lives, that you can actually soften your heart like the good soil, that God can actually use and God can actually plant in your lives. And if you are a Christian, how can you test the soil in your heart today? Or if you are non-Christian and you do not know whether you are Christian or not, how can I test the soil of hearts in our lives? You test the soil by in present days by, let's say, you use a certain instrument to actually test for it, right? And then you find the number of chemicals in the soil. We determine whether this is good for growing. But we cannot do this in our hearts. Sometimes, you know, the heart surgeon cannot even like do things. He might cut something wrong and then, you know, that's it, right? So it's a very delicate thing. It's not like just like a soil, right? So how can we really test this? We test this by looking at the fruits that the soil produces. If that soil itself produces a great bounty of bananas, we know that that is a good soil. Same for us. If today in our lives you produce good fruits, then we know that it's a good soil. So what are these fruits? And the fruit is here the fruit of the Spirit. And we see that in the Bible in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. It says here, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And then it goes on. There's a whole list of fruit that the Bible actually describes that shows that we are Christian today. And if you are non-Christian and you think you're Christian, measure yourselves by that. Because in the Bible it also states that there are many who follow Jesus Christ. There are many who say that, I go to church on Sunday, I go to Christmas celebrations, I go to Mass, I go to all these things. But today you have to ask yourself, do I have the fruit of the Spirit? Is my soil of my heart the good soil? Is the seed even growing inside? Because if the seed is not growing inside, if there is no fruit, then it is a sign that you are not a Christian. And today you must come. You must come to Jesus Christ. And that's what we can learn today. And another thing that I want you to learn as well from this small chapter is that the focus here that Jesus Christ has is not on the seed. It is on our soil, our heart condition. And so the seed here represents the Word of God. It can also represent faith. And today you might ask yourself, I have very little faith. I cannot really believe. Help me to believe. I cannot believe everything. I cannot see God. How can I know that God is real? And you might have all these fears, all these doubts in your life. And you might also have these fears and doubts that God is not real. God has not helped me in my life before. When I was down, when I was despondent, when I was in the pit, God did not help me out of this. Why should I believe in Him? And the Bible says that all you need to have is a little faith. A faith that is as small as a mustard seed. And if you see that the mustard seed is a very small seed, it's the same size as the full stalk in the Bible. That's how small the mustard seed is. But when the mustard seed is planted in a good soil, a soil that is fervent, a soil that really wants to serve God, what happens? It grows into a large tree. And the same way is that the Bible wants to tell us that it's not the seed, it's not just our faith. Even if our faith is small, all we need to do is to have our heart prepared. If our heart is prepared to say that, I want to accept you, I want to come to you, God says, I will come. I will plant that seed and I will make it into a large tree. You don't need to have very good, big faith and good faith in order to actually achieve this. All you need to do is the heart condition of your soil. Is it ready? Is it soft enough? Is it like a good soil to receive God's word? And so, today, the soil of our heart itself has two things that we can do with it. We can either fertilize it, we can nourish it with God's word, or we cannot do that. We cannot flourish it, we cannot nourish it with God's word. And also the second thing, we can either take away all the weeds, all the cares of this world away, or we can just let the weeds remain. And that is a choice that we have in our lives. Because today, what we have is that we cannot choose the seed that is given to us. God already gives us a seed. We do not buy it. We do not purchase it. The gospel and gift of eternal life is not something we can buy, not something we can purchase. It's given to us freely. But the only thing that we can change today is the heart condition of our soil. Can we be soft enough to receive and accept Jesus Christ? And if you have a problem soil today, if you have a soil that is thorny, that is like by the wayside, that is rocky, all you can just simply do is to pray. Ask God, ask him that today you can change my heart today. You can make my heart to be more like you. And I might have a very little fear. I might have little faith. I might have great fear. But all I need is for you to change my heart, to accept you as my Lord and as my Savior. And there's this only way to confess to Jesus, to tell him that my heart has been a bad soil, but my heart today can be a good soil if only you can change me. And I pray that this will be your prayer today, that God will change the soil of your heart. Because when we look into eternity, and all of us will live forever, the question is, where are we going to go? Are you going to heaven? Are you going to hell? There's only two places to go. And if today your heart is the heart that is by the wayside, that a seed does not grow in, then you know where you're going next. And it's a very terrible place. But if you are in a place and your heart is soft to receive God's word, and it might be tough, it might be difficult sometimes, but when you are just willing to accept God's word in your lives and receive that word, you know that whatever happens, I'm going to a better land, a land that is called heaven, and where there is no tears, no sorrow, and no disappointment. And this is a place that you will live forever with God, for eternity. And that is a place that is worth everything. Because if you are that rocky, the seed in a rocky area, persecutions might come. But I would encourage you, take away the rock, because I want you to look at eternity. When you look at eternity in view, the rock itself is very small. You will take away the rock and then you will let the seed of God grow in your heart. If you are that soil that is with the weeds on it, and God's word is actually in you, you are a Christian, but you refuse to give everything to God. You say, I don't want to surrender everything. This part of my life, God, you cannot touch. I'm not willing to surrender that. But when you look at eternity and you look at what God has prepared for you, you would take away those weeds. You would say, God, help me to take these weeds away from my life such that I can grow more for you each day. And when you go to heaven, whether you are the seed that grows into a 30-fold plant, whether a 60-fold plant, or whether a huge 100-fold tree, it doesn't matter anymore. Because God has destined you to be what you are today. And whatever it is, you are good fruit. Regardless of how much fruit you produce, it's still considered good fruit. And that's what we should strive for today. And I just want to end by reading from Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. And this is a verse which I want to summarize this entire topic about, the parable of the sower. And I hope that this is something that you can actually take with you and something which you can remember, because today is the appointed day where you hear God's word. Today is a day where God can give you a new heart. And today you might be filled with sin. You might have a lot of disappointments in life. You might say that I'm a bad person. I've done many things against God, against myself, against my family members, against my friends. But today, what does God say in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26? It says, and you can read this with me, ready, go. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And it's a very powerful verse, right? Because God says that I am the one that can change your soil. I can give you a heart of flesh. All you need to do is to have that faith as small as a mustard seed, to trust in me. And that's all you need to do. And with that, I will give you a heart of flesh. And I promise you that you will live with me forever in heaven. And that's what God has for us today. And I hope that if today you are pricked by this message, if today you hear God's word, do not be like the other three soils. Be like the soil that says that I want a new heart in me. And may God help us in this. Let us pray. Our Father, Lord in heaven, we thank and praise Thee for learning of Thy word. And Lord, help us to be like a good soil, to have a heart that is tender, to have a heart that is malleable, a heart that You can mold and shape after Your will. And Lord, we pray that some of us here might have hearts that are hardened. Some of us might have hearts that where the seed of the word of God cannot penetrate and cannot enter. And Lord, we pray that indeed thy word in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 says that as we seek you, you can change our hearts, take away that stony heart and give us a heart of flesh. And Lord, we pray that all is called today, that all of us would seek you, hear thy gospel and believe. And always we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.